each and every one to our gospel meeting tonight. We thank God for another opportunity to tell out a wonderful message. We feel we have the very best message to tell out tonight. It's the gospel of the grace of God. We're thankful to see many here tonight, but I trust each and every one might recognize that coming to the gospel meeting will not save your soul. The important thing is to come to the one of whom the gospel is about, and that's God's own dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You could come to gospel meetings all your life and still go to hell. Without Christ, there's no hope. The question tonight is, have you come to Jesus? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? He alone can save. And time is short. I would like to begin tonight with number 25. Number 25, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Been watching leaves fall this season, and it's not a very long time from the time that the leaf leaves the tree and hits the ground. It's only a short time. And when we think of our lives in the light of eternity, our lives are very short too. And we never know when they might be terminated down here. So the one who wrote this hymn was burdened. There was an urgency about the message. And he goes on in this first verse, fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. I trust tonight that you may not simply hear my voice, but that you would hear the very voice of Jesus calling to you. Come. Come. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Number 25. Life at
every dream, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Breathing days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Be
time is
Sing number 22. This hymn also reminds us of the importance of being in time, because you know, for those that reject the message here tonight, the invitation that God gives to come may find it's too late tomorrow. And this hymn says the heavenly bridegroom soon will come, perhaps tonight. So trim your lamps and be ready. Number 22.
The heavenly bridegroom soon
for the bridegroom's night.
Tonight I would like to turn to a story in the gospel about a man who had a desperate need, and he knew about it. He knew he had that desperate need, and he was determined to get deliverance from that particular need that he had. And he went to the right person. He called on the right person. And you know who that person was? It was Jesus. And Jesus made a difference in the life of that man. And I do believe, as I look around here tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ has made a difference in the lives of many here tonight. Because we all have a desperate need as sinners before a holy God. Sin in the sight of God is horrible. It's been said that one sin in the sight of a holy God is worse than 10,000 sins put together would be in your sight or mine. And I believe the person who said that went so far as to say perhaps all the sins in the world put together. Dear ones, tonight, I have in my Bible case a pencil. And I don't know if I should refer to this as a pencil or not, because it doesn't have any lead. At least I don't think it does. All I can see is a eraser on both ends. But what I like about this pencil are the words. And this is what it says. And I only have one pencil. And I might say that if somebody would like to have this pencil and you can remember the words, I'll give it to the first one that comes to me and can tell me exactly what it says after the meeting. Now, this is what it says. Life without Jesus is like this pencil, no point to it. Life without Jesus is like this pencil, no point to it. Have you found it to be so? There's really no point to living if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said if we have Jesus, we have everything, but if we don't have Him, we have nothing. And so tonight, we're going to talk about Jesus. We sang about Him. We want to talk about Him. But first of all, we're going to read about Him. And I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and read the story of this man who found that Jesus made all the difference in his life. He brought happiness and joy into his life. He turned his darkness, his night, into day, his misery into gladness. And He can do that for anyone. Let's read Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. And it came to pass that as He was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. What a beautiful story. A story that brings before us the goodness of our God, the grace of our God showing favor to one who did not deserve favor, one who was down and out. But these are the kind of people that Jesus had come to seek and to save. And who is Jesus? He is the Son of God, God's own dear Son. You know, God has given many gifts to man down through the ages, from the beginning of time. We discussed about the Garden of Eden and how that there in the garden there was so much for Adam and Eve to enjoy. They could eat of any fruit of the garden, except for the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there were so many different fruits, variety of food, and not all the same color, variety of colors. And there were the animals there too. And I'm sure we do enjoy animals. I see boys and girls here, and I see older ones. And I think we like to go to a zoo. And there we see God's handiwork in creation. As we see all of these various animals, their sizes, their shapes, their colors, beautiful. We go to an aquarium. We see all the different fish, bright colors. Recently, I visited an aquarium. I was astounded to realize how many fish there are down deep in the ocean we know nothing about, but they have been brought up for us to observe in an aquarium, and vivid colors, yellows and oranges and reds and blues, and exquisite markings on these fish. And then the birds. Well, you know, God has given these things to man to enjoy. He's given us food. He's given us health. He's given shelter. But you know, God has not withheld from you or I the very best gift that he could possibly give. And he gave that gift about 2,000 years ago. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God only had one Son. That one in whom he delighted, he was willing to give him up. He would not spare him, but deliver him up for us all. Oh, how good God is. We can only begin to describe the goodness that's in the heart of God. It's true, we see much difficulty in the world today, confusion. We see that which is the fruit of man's sin, wars, violence, corruption, it's all present in the world today. But you know what? It's not God's fault. No, it's not. Whose fault is it? It's the fault of man. Man is the one who failed by one man's sin or disobedience. Sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men. But in the midst of the world in which we live, we can enjoy the goodness of God. I noticed there in Psalm 27, David could say, he would have fainted unless he had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I'd like to focus tonight on the goodness of God. We have it in this story. And I'm thankful when those of God's people are enjoying that portion. I remember visiting a man in a hospital over there in McAdam. And he used to tell me, you know, I've had brethren come to me and visit me in this hospital. And it seems like they're always talking about the goodness of God. That's really what stuck in his mind. The goodness of God. Well, I'm glad there was that testimony. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. How wonderful a God we have. Now here in verse 35, it says, "And it came to pass." I'm so thankful that when I pick up the Word of God, I pick up a book that isn't filled with fantasy or the imagination of men, fairy tales. No. What I have here in this book, I see it happened. And I was just turning back to previous chapters in Luke. I noticed that I didn't go too far back, but let's say we start at Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, verse 22, we have those words. "And it came to pass." Luke 17, verse 11. "And it came to pass." In our chapter, verse 35. "And it came to pass." What about chapter 19? Ah, yes, there it is, number 29. "And it came to pass." Chapter 20, verse 1, "And it came to pass." I just emphasize, dear ones, tonight that what we have in this book, it's history. It happened. It's been said that history is his story. And what a wonderful story we have here. Now, what came to pass? It says, "As he," that's Jesus, of course, "was come nigh unto Jericho." And Jericho was a city that was under the curse. That was the first city, I believe, that the children of Israel were confronted with after they crossed the Jordan. And it was a wicked city. A wicked city. And God destroyed that city. The walls came down in a miraculous way. But there was somebody that was saved in that city. In fact, there were more than just one saved, but I believe the first one that was saved was a harlot. Her name was Rahab. She was a bad woman. She was a sinner woman. But God saved her soul. Because that's what God delights to do. He delights to impart blessing to those who do not deserve it. He delights in the salvation of the sinner. It tells us over in Luke chapter 15 that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Will there be joy tonight in the presence of the angels of God as a result of somebody in this hall repenting? You know, repenting is a willingness to own that I'm wrong, that God is right, and acknowledging that I can't trust myself. I can only trust in God. It's taking sides with God against myself. I believe that's what repentance is. And this is what God looks for: repentance towards him and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how it would delight his heart if there was one here that was saved tonight. Now, this city of Jericho, a wicked city, that was destroyed was rebuilt. And I believe it was a man by the name of Heil. He had the effrontery to ignore God's command that that city should not be rebuilt. He went ahead and rebuilt it anyway. How many there are today, they have no regard for what God has to say. And they do their own thing. Well, you know, I believe Heil, he suffered for it. I'm not mistaken. His firstborn and his youngest, I believe, lost their lives in the rebuilding of that city. But nevertheless, it was rebuilt. But it was under the curse, the city of the curse. But I believe Jericho is a picture of this world. And this world is under the curse because of man's failure back there in the Garden of Eden. Sin has come in, and this world is under the curse and under the judgment of God. But isn't it wonderful to see that Jesus came nigh to this very city? And the Lord Jesus has come into this world. What was his purpose for coming? You know, we cross back and forth over the border quite often because where we live, in Maine. And when there are new border guards come on duty, they wonder who you are. And one of the first questions that they ask often is, what's the purpose of your trip? What's the purpose of your visit? And you better be able to give an answer. Well, we say we're over for a visit, or we're over to run an errand somewhere. But there's a purpose to the visit. What was God's purpose in sending his son? What was the Son of God's purpose in coming? To seek and to save that which was lost. And so we find the Lord Jesus here, nigh unto Jericho. And there he is. And it says, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Now I notice as I read through this story, there's one letter of the alphabet seems to stand out. It's letter B. So perhaps I'll mention several words. Well, in fact, seven that begin with the word letter B. Here we have a man that's blind. He's begging. And I believe in another gospel it tells us his name was Bartimaeus. And he was in a sorrowful state. He could not see, could only sit by the side of the road and beg. But he heard there was a multitude passing by. And he wondered just what it meant. He couldn't see what was happening. And so he questioned. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And in the very next breath, you might say, he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, here was a man who was in earnest. I say he was in desperate need, and he knew it. And I believe this man, he had faith in the Lord Jesus. He knew that this was the one who could meet his particular need. And he cried out. And they had said to him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. But he didn't refer to Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Jesus, thou David. Now, you know, the crowd, they had physical sight. But I believe that they were blinded in their soul. They didn't recognize who Jesus truly was. And they referred to him as Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth was the place where the Lord Jesus grew up. And it wasn't a nice place. I understand there was poverty there. And there was moral evil. It wasn't a place that this world would consider an important point on the map. In fact, it was despised. But that's where Jesus resided. And those who spoke of Jesus referred to him as Jesus of Nazareth. But this man, he said, "Jesus, thou son of David." And in doing so, I do think he acknowledged that this was truly the Messiah. Here was the king of Israel. He was in the royal lineage, and he was great David's greater son. And this man, he cries out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." There was light in his soul. And so really he was better off than those who had physical sight. Now people today, they place such great importance on their eyesight. And people will do everything they can to maintain their sight. And I heard a story about a man one time, and he was a believer. And he was seeking to impress upon one the importance of not only physical sight, but spiritual sight. And he liked birds. And so this one time, he went to an aviary and he bought some birds. They were just little birds. He put them into a bag, set them on his desk. And this man came in and sat down. Now, there had been little holes punched in the bag. And this man sat down and he saw this bag and was kind of moving around. He said, "What's in your bag?" He said, "They're birds." "Birds." "Oh," he said, "they are? I'd like to have a look." "Well, have a look." So he went over, he picked up the bag, and he looks. He said, "What kind of birds are they?" And the reply was, "Well, they're a variety of eyepeckers." And immediately, he set the bag down. You know, he was very concerned to preserve his eyesight. But he had no concern about his soul. But dear ones, tonight, what's important? Is it to see Jesus who he is? You know, this man, Bartimaeus, he saw Jesus for who he was. He was the answer to Israel's problem. He was the son of David. He was the Messiah. And he knew that he was the answer to his problem too. And the Lord Jesus didn't disappoint this man. You know, he never disappoints any who come to him and call upon him. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, in verse 39, "They which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace." There were those who told him to be quiet. I'm sure they thought that Jesus not going to take time for this man. This man is blind. He's a beggar. He's good for nothing. He's worthless. Didn't place any importance on the man. But you know what? These are the very people that Jesus came to save. You see, What the world may consider an abomination is highly esteemed in the sight of God. And what God delights in, dear ones, is meeting the need of those who are down and out, destitute. That's the kind of God that we have come to know and enjoy. But they said, "Be quiet." But he cried, "So much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He wasn't going to be thwarted in his purpose to get his sight, and he cried out the more. Kind of reminded me of what our brother Chuck said this afternoon when they didn't want him to confess Jesus as Lord. He confessed all the more. Dear ones, tonight, have you confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Don't allow anything or anybody to hinder you from confessing Jesus. This man Bartimaeus, he didn't care what anybody thought. He had one person on his mind, and that was Jesus. Jesus was the focus of his attention. Who do you have on your mind tonight? You know, every one of us, we have to have an object. Just as much as we need food, we need an object for our minds. And you know who wants to be that object is the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer put it this way, "Be thou the object bright and fair to fill and to satisfy my heart." What a wonderful Savior Jesus is. What a wonderful object. He was the object of Bartimaeus, and he wants to be your object here tonight. Now, in another place, it tells us, I think, that when Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought, that he cast away his garment and he was led to Jesus. Cast away his garment. He wasn't going to allow anything to hinder him from coming to the Savior. And I think that the garment speaks of perhaps our associations. You know, I have this coat on here tonight. This coat is close to me. And we all have those people or those things that are close to us and perhaps would hinder us from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. I spoke to a man one time. He said, "I wouldn't want to come to Jesus because my friends would make fun of me. I don't want my friends to laugh at me." So it was his friends that were hindering his acceptance of Christ. But maybe it's something else beside people. It could be anything. It could be movies. We know that there are those that are involved with drugs, drinking, immoral lifestyle. These things that keep one from coming to the Savior. But we need to let these things go. You know, over in Africa, I'm told, and I can't say that I've confirmed this, but it sounds reasonable. They have a very clever way of catching monkeys. They'll take a gourd and cut a small hole in the gourd, and then they put nuts into this gourd, or some other food that monkeys enjoy, and they hang these out in the trees at night. And the monkey comes along and apparently can smell something, and he looks in and, "Oh, that's something I would like to have." And he puts his hand in there and he grabs it just like that. But the hole is small enough that when he pulls his hand back, It won't come out of the hole. And he's just pulling for all he's worth to get his hand out of that hole. And I understand he'll just try all night. And when he come in the morning, the monkey's pretty well exhausted. And then he's captured. And they take the monkey away and do whatever they want. But I thought monkeys were intelligent. But they don't seem to have enough sense to just let go and they can get out of this situation. But you know, there's people like that too. They're holding on to something that's keeping them from coming to Jesus. We need to cast it away. In another gospel, Bartimaeus tells us he cast away his garment and he was led to Jesus. Some years ago, on the coast of Maine, we had a man, and he was out lobstering. And as he was pulling in a trap, his jacket got caught in the pulley, and it began to pull him right into that pulley. And he couldn't get his jacket off, and he couldn't reach the switch to disengage the pulley. He knew he had to do something quick. He grabbed his knife and he severed his arm, just like that. He went to the helm of the ship, or the boat, and he tore into land, and he was able to get to land and out onto the pier, and somebody met him. He was rushed to the hospital. His life was saved. But he lost his arm. But you know, in the hospital, he had no regrets. He said, "I don't regret for one moment what I did. Because it was either losing my life or losing my arm." He said, "I'd rather lose my arm." You know what it tells us in God's Word? The Lord Jesus said, if your arm, your hand, your foot offends you, it's better to cut it off. Because it's better to enter into life with one hand or one foot than into hellfire with two hands, 2 feet. Or if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Because it's better to enter into life with one eye than into hellfire with 2 eyes. It's very sobering that people are allowing their senses to keep them on the broad road that leads to destruction. They're going down, down, down. And the end of that road is destruction. It's the lake of fire. You know, that used to just strike terror into my soul. When I was the age of some of you here tonight, some of you boys and girls, I believe it was the thought of the lake of fire that caused me one night to get out of bed, down on my knees, and ask the Lord to save me. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. I knew what the Bible said. I knew Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I knew that those who ended up there, they deserved to go there because of their sins. But I knew too that God loved me. He didn't want me to perish, to pass eternally ruined into sinner's hell. No, He wanted me to be saved. And if you're not saved here tonight, He wants you to be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. An alarm was sounded last night in this building. And I can't recall the exact words, but it was something to the effect that a fire emergency has been reported, but the message didn't stop there. It went on to indicate clearly what to do. And those who were guests in the room, they were to go to the stairwells, not to the elevators. And so there was the message as how to exit the building. As it wasn't a burning building, but it could have been. We never know. You know, fire escape plans are so important. And I looked out the window and I saw people accumulating outside, a crowd of people out there. I don't know that everybody got up and got out. In fact, I know not everybody did. But many responded. They're concerned about the fire. Well, dear ones, tonight, the fire of God's judgment has fallen upon my Savior at the cross. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. The Lord Jesus at the cross, during 3 hours of darkness, he exhausted the judgment that I deserved in eternal hell. And not only for me did he do this, but for all who would accept him. Yeah. And now I stand where the fire has been, as it were. The fire has passed on. But you know, those that reject the Savior, those who reject the Lord Jesus and his offer of salvation, will have to suffer for their own sin. And how awful to think of it. And that's why we urge you here tonight, if you're not saved, come to the Savior now. Don't wait. Tomorrow may be too late. I'm hearing about different ones being killed. I think Brother Phil Jennings told of his boss in the prime of life. He's killed, car accident. There's a man in St. John. He ran a Honda dealership, only 40 years old, bright man. I mean, he had lots going for him, but he was killed just recently, car accident. There was a bridge accident over here in St. Louis just a few days ago. I think 4 or 5 killed on the bridge. We never know what's going to take place. Oh, how important it is to be ready and to be saved. The Lord Jesus loves you. He wants to save your soul. And he's made every provision. On the cross, he suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He shed his precious blood to wash those sins away. And now he lives, a Savior on high in the glory. He rose again the third day. And about 40 days later, he rose up from the Mount of Olives and returned to the glory. But he's coming back. The heavenly bridegroom soon will come. And he may come tonight. Are you prepared to meet him? I think of what happened in a Sunday school just recently. We were all sitting around, and I just put the question to the boys and girls there. I said, now, if Jesus was to walk through this door, there was a door there. If he was to walk through this door and sit down in this empty seat, I think there was about one empty seat there, would everybody feel comfortable in this room? And the one girl said, no, not me. She was right next to the empty seat. I said, why not, Alicia? See, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. You know, I believe her sins were coming up before her, and she realized that what separates us from God is sin. And unless that separation is removed, we'll be separated from God for all eternity. Well, we pray for Alicia that she might come to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's heard the way of salvation. But how awful to sit in a seat and not be saved. Now, if Jesus were to come through that door there and sit down in that seat there, or that seat over there, how would you feel? Would it strike terror in your soul? Or would you be rejoicing? I look around, I know there are those here that would just be delighted if the Lord Jesus were to come and to sit down beside them. But I think there might be somebody else. You wouldn't be happy about it because you're not saved. Well, why not be saved tonight? You know, Bartimaeus, he cried out and he was brought. And when he was come near, the Lord Jesus asked him, he said, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." Now the Lord Jesus knew exactly what he wanted. He knows what our particular thoughts are, but he wants us to express them. And so, without hesitation, Bartimaeus told his problem. And Jesus did not keep him waiting. "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And immediately he received his sight. He didn't have to wait. It happened immediately. And it says he followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. But notice verse 42, what Jesus said to this man, "Thy faith has saved thee." It wasn't anything that he had done, but it was the fact that he had put his faith in the Lord Jesus. He had nothing to offer to the Lord. He was a beggar. He had no money. He was blind. You know, the Queen of England not too long ago came to Fredericton, New Brunswick, and there were some of the ones, well, I think three of the saints there, that they wanted to see Queen of England. And they waited a long time. They knew what building she was going to come out of, and they were there waiting for her to come out. And one sister, she had a bouquet. And sure enough, out came Queen Elizabeth, and she moved right along. And when that bouquet was presented to her, she took it, handed it to her attendant, and just went on. Oh, she thanked Maxine for that bouquet. But you know what? Bartimaeus didn't have any bouquet to offer the king. Nothing. He was bereft. But these are the kind of people that Jesus has come to bless and to save. Those that have nothing to offer. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. For by grace, grace is unmerited favor, are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus did the work at the cross almost 2,000 years ago. And he did it to perfection. He said, "It is finished." And God accepted that work. And the proof of his acceptance of that work is that he has exalted his Son to the highest place in heaven and given him a name which is above every name. And that's the name of Jesus. And so Bartimaeus, I think he was just overjoyed. And it tells us here, he glorified God. Do we glorify God as we contemplate the salvation that we have through Christ? Oh, what a wonderful salvation. We can only begin to describe the blessings of it. It's full and it's free. And God offers it. And, you know, many in the world today, they're misdirected. They don't understand. They don't have a clue. They have the idea that salvation, it's hard to get, and it's even harder to keep, but the hardest thing of all is to recover it when you lose it. They're all wrong. Salvation is not something to be achieved. It's something to be received as a free gift. God offers it. And when we receive it, we are kept by the power of God. He's an all-the-way-home Savior, and we can never lose that salvation. it would be an insult to God to give something and then find that it was less than perfect. And if we could lose our salvation, it would be less than perfect. Dear ones, tonight, accept what God has to offer. Take it. Enjoy it. Be like Bartimaeus. I do believe this was the only time that Bartimaeus had opportunity. At least, I think this was the last time that Jesus passed this way. And perhaps would have been the only opportunity that Bartimaeus had to get what he wanted. And he was in earnest. And he got what he wanted. And dear ones, tonight, this might be your last opportunity to be saved. You don't know what the future holds. We sing a little song, Jesus Loves Me. In fact, it's on the back of this hymn sheet. And the last verse, it goes, Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Should he come, or should I die, he will take me home on high. I noticed where it was changed in one place to that brought in the thought of his coming, and that could take place tonight. Should he come, or should I die, he will take me home on high. He may come tonight. If he doesn't come, we could die tonight. You know, why trifle with this all-important issue? Because once you leave this life, the die is cast. You have no second chance, no further opportunity to be saved. Come to Jesus. Come to him tonight. He will save you. Well, perhaps we could sing in closing. Number two, let's sing the first and last verse of number two.
Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling.
Came to mind. First of all, his name, Bartimaeus. He was blind. He was a beggar. But he beseeched the Lord. He was in earnest. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then he was brought. The Lord saw to it that he was led because he couldn't see. He was brought. And he believed. And the result, he was blessed. Blessed. All who come to Christ are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. What a wonderful Savior we have to speak about, sing about. Come tonight and find for yourself how good he is. Let's pray.